Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My name is Frederick Henderson. I'm the director of Pensacola Mission. Hey, thank you guys for coming. It's always a pleasure to have you guys in the building. I've been working here for 15 years. Started out as a volunteer. And when I started out as a volunteer, it was just volunteering. And before it was over with, I was working at the mission. I didn't see that coming at all. I'm also a local pastor of one of the churches in Pensacola.
I'm always cautious about volunteering because volunteer once is forever. And sometimes you wind up being the director of mission when you're Fred Henderson at the Waterfront Rescue Mission. I had a chance to do a tour. This actually took place about 2 months ago, and I just have never had a chance to get this audio on the air. But, of course, it being Thanksgiving and starting to be cold season, and with their Thanksgiving Day meal coming up on Thursday, I thought this is a good time to talk about Waterfront. It's one of the local charities that we support. Manna, Loaves and Fishes are other ones that we support, and several others as well. But that's what we do with our donation money. Like my family, that's what we do. Anyway, so I thought some of the stuff I learned about Waterfront and how they operate, very interesting. And for those of you who don't know, here you go.
What you have here is this. Our guests that we serve, and we don't call them homeless, we do call them guests. We have a total of 98 beds for our overnight guests. They can come in the mission, check in at 4 o'clock, and during this check-in period, they put their bags away. You notice that the beds are not dressed because they get a fresh roll of linen and towels and everything every single night. And then they get a chance after they take a shower and make their beds, go get something, a warm meal, until they can get ready for bed at night.
And so they come and go every single day. They go out entirely, they clean the thing, they get new linens, they come back in. So they do not stay there on an ongoing basis for that portion of the men's dorm.
What we want to do here, this should be a progression. And our progression is that if they get in this overnight area service, that we can have some touch points with them, be able to touch them. Matter of fact, I touch as many of them as I can physically, every chance I get, even if it's just a slap them on the arm, to make them feel comfortable, because we want them to go into one of our rescue programs.
And the idea is they come in for 10 days free, sequential days, and then they're wanting to get to know them and, you know, get to understand them and see if they can get them into more of a long-term program. And there are several various kinds of programs that they can get into, including work training.
A rescue program, you can see on the board, we have a work training program. And let me tell you what that work training program is to do. A lot of the individuals that we serve, that we allow to serve, we had been out of workforce for a long period of time. They ain't used to waking up on time. They ain't used to working, going to a job. So our work training program is designed to get them back in the flow of work. And some who have never worked, they have a supervisor that they report to. And they have a time frame that they report, and they have to do that unless they end up having a conversation with the chaplain. And our work training program is just designed to do that.
And part of the reason I wanted to share this with you is so you just understand how, you know, a local shelter operates, but also because by understanding how they operate, you can start to get a better picture of what's really going on with homeless persons as well, and get, you know, some comprehension of the scale, scope, and dimensions of that particular problem, that particular people group, right?
And then we want them to progress to the working homeless program. It's a difference between working train and working homeless. What we have is doing the influx of inflation and people being priced out of the rent market. What we discovered is that we had a lot of first-time individuals who wasn't on drugs and alcohol, were living in their cars. So they can come and have a job and stay with us for 45 days. And what we do during that 45 days, we give them the same bed every night. They can keep their clothes here with them. And they got 45 days, but it's just not 45 days where we don't pay attention to. They have to produce a bank statement, a weekly bank statement. And then we have to see that they're saving their money, because we don't want them to stay with us for 45 days and still be in the same situation. If that's going well, we'll review them. We'll give them an additional 45 days so them to have the time to get themselves together. What we want them to do is be able to afford getting back into the market. And hopefully, by the time they do that, some of these prices will go down.
So, you know, you've heard about this idea that, like, rents go up or inflation has got some people, like, right on the bubble of whether they can live in a home or not. And it's true. They, you know, they're living in the car and then they go, you know, to Waterfront and they can help them. And again, it's the difference between the overnight, you know, one day at a time kind of dorm versus a 45-day long in a program designed to get you back on your feet and get you in a more stable situation. Other programs?
We got a chronically homeless program. We got a veterans program. We got two veterans at the moment. We work with Veterans of America. We work with 90 Works and these agencies to get them placed. And they do a very good job of getting our veterans placed. The majority of them is gone within the first 45 days. But sometimes it takes a little longer for that.
And there's a couple of other dimensions to this. And by the way, I love Fred. Fred's the best. Like, this is the kind of person you mean, like, I could really be a lot better person. That kind of, you know, like, do feel kind of guilty about what I'm accomplishing with my life. Anyway, we'll get back to this in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Also, if you're traveling from Pensacola into Pace via Highway 90, just know that there's a new traffic pattern through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Yeah, it's definitely one of those, like, what do you do with your life? Well, I rescue homeless people. What do you do with your life? I talk on the radio. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so what about addiction recovery? That's another element of what they deal with.
And then finally, we have what we call an addiction recovery program. What that program is designed to do is for people who are dealing with opioid addiction, alcoholism, crack cocaine addiction, and some dealing with other addictions that are not drugs. We have a year-long program. The first phase of that program is in this building through those doors. We have 24 beds for that addiction program beginning phase.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, again, that's a whole different dimension. You're not just talking about economics now. You're talking about, you know, substance recovery, right?
They'll stay over here 3 months, and then they'll go to an undisclosed location, which is on our building. Our addiction recovery program is a in-house recovery program. They cannot leave the building. When they leave, they go as a group to church, and then they do community activities, you know, giving back and things like that. But it's always, they are always together. And over there, we have 18 beds for that.
Because the whole idea of addiction recovery is you've got to be in a completely separate environment and not kind of hybrid or fall back into the old patterns, right?
And after they leave, if they do 3 months there and they're successful, they go to our transitional housing. Some of our transitional houses, I guarantee you, all of us would be glad to live in. They got hardwood floors. They're a really nice transitional home. But they do pay a program participation fee. Remember, we got to get them ready for paying rent now, but it's a very small amount because they still got to get right with child support. They still got to get legal issues done, and we want them to do that under our umbrella. So by the time they get out, they'll already be used to doing the things that we need for them to do.
And it's kind of funny because Fred had mentioned that he had several different times. This is a Waterfront Rescue Mission, if you're just tuning in, and he's the director of mission, that a couple of different times he tried to leave. And he's just like, I cannot get out of this place.
Wonderful program here. Like I said, I do pastor church. I tried to quit this place 100 times, and the Lord won't let me, and my spirit won't let me. So what I've done is I married the two together. Our church and the mission, they are married. Some of the guys come to our church, and our church come here sometimes. Just a wonderful place to be.
One of the things that got asked by somebody we were with had asked the question, you know, well, what is the barrier? Like, what is it that keeps more people who are homeless from getting involved in these programs?
What do you think is the greatest obstacle getting them from just the overnight program to one of the other programs?
I would say an obstacle of dealing with habits. They have a habit of doing what they want to do when they want to do it and having responsibilities. So the obstacle that we face is conversation. We got to get them to have a conversation with us. They are so used to not having authority figures, and some of them don't want. Of course, I work with the homeless subcommittee in town. I work with trying to get people out of homeless camp. Waterfront has an outreach program where we go out and talk to them, and they don't like authority. I'm just gonna tell them. They'll tell me all the time, I know we gotta leave this camp, but I say, what is it that you guys want? What can we do? And they'll say, well, Pastor Frederick, we just wanna be left alone. But in those camps, some things go on that shouldn't go on. Mm-hmm. There's crime in those camps. But guess what? When you have a relationship with them, they'll let me walk all the way back through them. They never say, they won't let everybody do that. But we have relationship. We'll get the relationship piece right when they're in this phase. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get them to go to the next phase. Does that make sense?
It does.
And then the question that I had was particularly about drug and alcohol use. Like, how common is that? How prevalent? Because, you know, you have all your sort of preconceived ideas, your assumptions, premises, biases, whatever. I'm a guy who always wants to check and see, you know, is my perception match up with reality?
For how many of them is drug and alcohol a problem?
Well, many of them. Now, if you ask me, my data would say over 75% of them have a drug or alcohol problem. But some of it is due to mental illness. I know we get tired of hearing that, but there's a lot of mental illness. I deal with it on a regular basis. Some of it is due to mental illness that the drinking alcohol is the problem, because they are trying to not hear voices, they are trying to not be paranoid, so they drink, they use drugs and alcohols to cope. So we have to give them other things to cope, to help them cope, which is also spiritual, because we are a faith-based program here at the Waterfront.
Absolutely. So there you go. That's part two. I'm doing this today in the beginnings of the hour. Next hour, we're going to talk about the women's dorm, which is a brand new thing that they've done. And then the last piece will be sort of overview on their operations. But I thought this was useful because Waterfront's kind of place where, like a lot of things in town, you know about them, but you don't really know. And how they operate, what they do, especially at this time of year, I think is important for people to understand. You know, I've told you before, I support them with my own personal money. You know, we give a lot of money, you know, and as much as we can. And this is one of the organizations, you know, the food raising event for Phil the Mayflower, for Manna. Manna is another one that we, you know, support heavily with our own money. I didn't want to do this last week because it's kind of Manna and, you know, but I thought this week with it being Thanksgiving, it would be a good time to share some of this stuff. 623 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all things holiday in downtown Pensacola, including tree lights, holiday cubes, and where you can find Santa.
Santa! Here's a Santa!
Today at 10, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, isn't that special?
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Good morning, 625 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Seeing a minor delay as you're heading into East Milton from downtown Milton. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Frontier Motors has got a great selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot, trucks, vans, SUVs, sports cars, sedans, you know, whatever you're looking for, and maybe even stuff you're not looking for. And one of the things I always say about Frontier, it's kind of neat, is you can go there and, okay, let's say you're looking for a minivan. Okay, you can drive four or five different kinds of minivans and see what you really like. And if they have what you want, buy it. It'll be a good price. And they warranty it to 100,000 miles or 10 years. And if they have something that's close, tell them to go looking for it. They do that. Get me a different color. Get me a different trim level. I want fewer miles. I want more miles for a lower price. You know, whatever it is that you're really looking for. But my one thing I always recommend is if you're set on a certain kind of car, like a certain, you know, like you want a minivan, just have a little bit of fun. Drive a sports car just for fun. Just for fun. Because when you get done, you might be like, oh, that's why I don't want a sports car. When you get in, you're like, I got to have one of these. And that's the point, is you should enjoy driving. Now, chances are, if you're going to buy a minivan, you're probably not going to walk away with a sports car. I get it. But, you know, try something a little bit different. You might discover, oh, I like trucks. Oh, I can't stand trucks. You know, either way, it's a chance to have a little bit of fun. And even if you go with your sweetie, make a date out of it. I don't know. It could be something different. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them. Okay, says it's a date. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You see, now I know how you ended up with that Corvette.
You insult me, sir. Okay, can I soapbox for just a second?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm
really
angry at the Corvette makers, because the newest Corvette has the, at a distance, it looks like a real supercar, and it never is. And you think, oh, that's going to be a Lambo. Oh, that's going to be a Ferrari. That's going to be, no, it's not. It's just another Corvette.
I'll still take one, though.
Just another Corvette.
And it's, look, it's a fine enough budget sports car. You know, compared to like the super high-end cars, I'm not saying it's a terrible car. I'm saying I shouldn't be lied to at a distance what I'm about to see. I should be able to tell the difference. And it has the kind of look at a distance of, you know, the real exciting cars, where the kid in me is like, oh, Corvette.
That's a budget? What budget are you looking at, son?
Well, for sports cars.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying it's cheap.
Right, but
I'm saying it's not a supercar either. Car. You know, right. If you don't have $300,000, you buy a Corvette.
Oh, okay. That's a good way to look at it, you know.
Well, Andrew, the tug of war on Alex Jones' InfoWars is continuing. A federal judge says he may hold an evidentiary hearing next month to decide whether to sell Jones' company to satirical website The Onion. That sale remains in limbo until that hearing can happen. Interested parties will make their case there, and the judge will decide which of Jones' assets can be sold. The judge yesterday also declined to rule on a temporary restraining order that would have disqualified The Onion's previous bid on InfoWars. A hiker's body was found in the mountains in New Hampshire over the weekend. 44-year-old Christopher Hoyler was found after being reported missing by his wife in the White Mountains. He was found on a ridge. Officials believe he suffered a fall. He was out checking ski conditions. And you remember the Kentucky sheriff that shot and killed a judge in his chambers back in September?
Vaguely. John says yes.
Well, there were a couple of small news stories that pushed that out of the national
Fair
news
enough.
Cycle. But he has now pled not guilty on a murder charge. 43-year-old Mickey Steins was the sheriff. He was accused of shooting Judge Kevin Mullins. And that all happened after some type of an argument in the judge's chambers. Steins was indicted last week by a grand jury on a single count of murder of a public official, and so far they still have not disclosed a motive for that shooting.
That's super weird. Okay. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they do a great job of that. 175 homes last year, 150 so far this year, on track to be about the same this year, 175, 200 kind of vicinity. At the height of the market, you know, when you could basically, you'd be in the process of pounding the sign in the ground and three people people would offer you on the home. They were selling, you know, well over 200 a year. But, you know, it's a little slower, so it takes a little bit more work, but they still, lots of homes sold. And the reason I mention that is because that means they have experience, repetitions, muscle memory. They know how to prevent the problems, to solve the problems. If a new one comes up, they can handle that. They know what's normal. They can guide you through your decision-making about things like, do I need to replace the AC when the buyer says you got to replace your AC because it's 8 years old? Well, do you or don't you? I don't know, but they will, because the insurance market has just totally ruined the real estate transaction. So they know what's normal, and they can help you with it. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158. Be sure to add them to your list and just talk to them and see if, you know, they don't have better answers and you don't want to go with them, because I think you'll find out they kind of do.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President-elect Trump says he'll impose through executive order a 25% tariff on all imports from Canada and Mexico until those governments do more to stop immigrants and drugs from coming into the U.S.
Trump is also threatening to charge an additional 10% tariff on goods coming from China, pointing to the amount of fentanyl coming from the country. The three countries are the largest trading partners of the United States, so the tariffs could have implications for several industries like automakers, farmers, and food packagers.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Israel's cabinet is expected to approve a 60-day ceasefire with Hezbollah militants in Lebanon.
Israeli troops began a land invasion of Lebanon almost 2 months ago in response to nearly a year of rocket attacks from Hezbollah. A U.S.-brokered ceasefire would see those soldiers withdraw and Hezbollah fighters move well back from the Israeli border.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 67 degrees. It is mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Well, the latest update on our race for the District 1 congressional seat here in Northwest Florida. President-elect Donald Trump has now endorsed Jimmy Patronis in that race. Patronis, the current Florida Chief Financial Officer, he did submit his resignation effective in March, hours after Trump's endorsement yesterday. State Representative Michelle Salzman has now backed out of that race, while Representative Joel Rudman is pressing forward, and he has resigned his District 3 State House seat. Trump has also endorsed State Representative Randy Fine to run for the District 6 seat in Central Florida, that seat being vacated by Michael Waltz. A Nicaraguan man is in jail after a hit-and-run crash on Palafox near Airport Boulevard. That happened on Saturday morning, FHP says. A 19-year-old Pensacola man was riding a motorcycle when a pickup truck turned in front of him. The rider suffered serious injuries, was taken to Baptist Hospital. Troopers say the truck fled the scene but was later found in Warrington. The driver was identified as Omar's Isabel Mayhadzwarte. He was arrested for driving with no license and leaving the scene of a crash. Omar's Isabel is currently being held in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. Well, the New Jersey teenager that made hoax calls and reported school shootings and bomb threats in Santa Rosa County a couple years ago has now been sentenced to 2 years in a Florida prison. 18-year-old Brad Parga was in court earlier this month on multiple charges.
For any future people out there wanting to do something really stupid over the phone, we will get you sooner or later. And we proved it in this case, went all the way to New Jersey to get him.
Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, he says fake shooting threats are generally done by students that are looking to get out of class. In this case, though, he says Parga didn't get anything out of it except for 2 years in prison. Now, the Tampa Bay Rays are being asked to clarify just where they stand on plans to build a new stadium. Pinellas County Commission Chair Kathleen Peters and St. Petersburg Mayor Ken Welch each sent the baseball team a letter yesterday. Peters is asking them to officially declare their intention regarding that new stadium project and whether they plan to see it to fruition. She's asking for a response by Sunday. Welch is asking the Rays to declare in writing if they want to terminate the deal on that stadium. Well, it's just 2 days now till Thanksgiving. That means the skies and the highways are extra crowded. Travel editor Peter Greenberg says 80 million people are traveling this year, a lot of them taking a full week off instead of the traditional 2 days for Thanksgiving.
Especially in the post-pandemic world. And the smart travelers know it's a better way to do it, first of all, because the airfares will be different and better, and also the roads will be less crowded.
And they are expecting a lot of passengers all across the state of Florida at all the airports tomorrow, expected to be the busiest travel day, followed by Sunday as people head back home. And it is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Allstate. Some people just know you could save money on car insurance by checking Allstate first. So what are you waiting for? Check Allstate first for a quote today. You're in good hands with Allstate. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. I'm checking the big board. Just seeing some minor delays as you're heading on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a warm day today with a high near 74 degrees, partly cloudy skies, 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. For Wednesday, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 75 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. For Thanksgiving, 30% chance of rain early in the day, high near 75 and a low near 47. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, cloudy, 67 degrees in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 63 in Milton. Our next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Egg prices are rising as a lingering outbreak of bird flu coincides with the high demand on the holiday baking season. The average price for a dozen eggs in U.S. cities was $3.37 in October, and that's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. President-elect Donald Trump has announced plans to impose 25% tariffs on all products from Mexico and Canada and an additional 10% on all Chinese goods. Trump made the announcement on his social media platform, Truth Social. What is the minimum amount of money you would need to earn to feel at ease? I bet Generation Z has you beat. According to a survey by Empower, Gen Zers feel they need to earn at least $587,000 per year to feel financially successful. Futures are mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 440. The NASDAQ closed flat and the S&P 500 up 18. Once again, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Whether you're planning ahead or in need of immediate assistance, end-of-life planning can present one of life's greatest challenges. What needs to be done, how to do it, or even where to start? You'll want a caring expert to help. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. as West Florida Cremations answers your questions. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Afternoons are better on News Radio 92.3. Top trending stories, financial news, sports, flight information, interviews, traffic, and the most accurate five-day forecast. This is Chris Bryant along with Austin Price. It's Pensacola Right Now. Happens just after 4 on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We'll be right back.
The stated Trump plan is to use the military or military assets, deputize the National Guard, and have them act as immigration agents. Do you believe that is lawful?
You know, I'm 100% supportive of going after the 15,000 murderers, the 13,000 sexual assault perpetrators, rapists, all these people. Let's send them on their way to prison or back home to another prison. So I would say all points bulletin, all in. But you don't do it with the Army because it's illegal. And we've had a distrust of putting the Army into our streets because the police have a difficult job, but the police understand the Fourth Amendment. They have to go to judges. They have to get warrants. It has to be specific. And so I'm for removing these people, but I would do it through the normal process of domestic policing.
So this is a very interesting argument from Senator Rand Paul. And one of the elements of it, of course, is by reference to something like the Posse Comitatus Act that prohibits, you know, domestic use of our military. It's a longstanding tradition and a constitutional provision. Whoever accepting cases and under circumstances expressly authorized by the Constitution, by the Constitution or Act of Congress, willfully uses any part of the Army or the Air Force as a posse comitatus to otherwise or otherwise to execute the law shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 2 years or both. So, you know, members of the military not supposed to be used domestically, right? Well, what about National Guard? Yeah, it's a little different. Still, you know, similar, not same, right? But he says there's an additional element here, which I really like the thoughtfulness of this. It's not just that you have this law, which, by the way, if you heard what I was saying, there are ways around that, or there are ways to empower it to be done. It's not that it can't be done. It's that it can't be done unless, right? It specifically says permitted by act of Congress or the Constitution. So you have to pass a law. but the idea is we just don't use our military domestically. The military is for over there, somewhere over there, not supposed to be here locally. Of course, you know, National Guard is used all the time for things like helping out during a disaster. You know, that's very normal. What's the role of the military in evicting illegal immigrants, especially ones who have criminal convictions, right? What's their role? Well, the role right now is zero. And what Rand Paul is saying is that the role should still be zero, not just because it's prohibited, but because they're not properly trained for this. You want law enforcement to be enforcing laws, not to engage in a tautology, something that's true by definition, but because law enforcement officers have training on specific elements of the Constitution related to law enforcement. What is the current status of law, Supreme Court opinions, things that are relevant to them doing their job? The Army doesn't get that. I mean, maybe theoretically you could provide it, but that's not part of their training. You know, that's just what we teach law enforcement because it's literally their job, whereas the Army has a totally different job. But then you have some of these people who are saying, well, we are going to resist. You know, the mayor of Denver did an interesting walk back on his on stuff on this. But what he said originally was, you know, that we're going to meet you at the border. You know, we're gonna... okay, all right.
I would say that the mayor of Denver, if he's going to resist federal law, which there's a long-standing history of the supremacy of federal law, if he's going to resist that, it will go all the way to the Supreme Court. And I would suspect that he would be removed from office. I don't know whether or not there'd be a criminal prosecution for someone resisting federal law, but he will lose. And people need to realize that what he is offering is a form of insurrection where the states resist the federal government. Most people objected to that and rejected that long ago. So I think the mayor of Denver is on the wrong side of history. And really, I think will face legal ramifications if he doesn't obey the federal law.
Yeah, insurrection is a very interesting term. Because it's not treason, you know, which has a very particular consequence, but it's a pretty robust term, you know, to use about a mayor of a city. But if you're going to deliberately resist efforts of the federal government to enforce federal law related to immigration policy, and especially if you're threatening to use local law enforcement to resist it, that does kind of sound like insurrection. I don't think he's wrong about that.
That we have about 30,000 very dangerous people already convicted of crimes. That should be the first priority for all of us. Let's go find those people. But it's not about detaining them. In all likelihood, they should be going to a jail, either a jail here or mm-hmm. in the country they came from. So I think if we did that, there'll be a lot of unity. If they send the Army into New York and you have 10,000 troops marching, carrying semi-automatic weapons, I think it's a terrible image and I will oppose that. But it's not that I oppose removing people. I just object to what has been against the law for over 100 years, and that's using the Army.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, I think what Rand Paul is thinking about here is simultaneously what's legal, what's prudent, and what's good or bad PR. And, well, I tell you, the last thing the Trump administration is going to need is the PR of militarized troops going in, or military-looking troops going in and removing, you know, dark-skinned-looking people from their homes at gunpoint, right? I mean, what's it really going to look like? Time will tell. But do you remember the Elian Gonzalez picture? Everyone remembers the Elian Gonzalez picture. Why? Because it told a certain perspective on a story. A horrible, terrible, awful perspective. But that's the point. You don't want those pictures. You don't want that video. And I'm, by the way, I don't mean to be saying that the underlying thing isn't bad also. I mean, I have no problem removing criminals. I think we should have a conversation about removing everybody because of the practical implications. But, you know, deporting criminals? Yeah, done. Easy. I mean, not easy to do, but, you know, philosophically, I'm totally on board with that. And then, you know, Margaret Brennan asked the question, well, what about the National Guard? That's not the same as the Army, right?
But deputizing the National Guard, that specifically is the proposal. You also oppose that.
I don't think it's the best way to do it. It's less clear whether that's legal or illegal. Typically, it has to be done at the behest of the governors. I still don't like a militarization of police, whether it's National Guard or Army. I think there's a lot of FBI.
Okay.
There's a lot of Border Patrol agents. There's a better way to do it, and it needs to be individualized. That doesn't mean I'm any less serious about getting it done. It just needs to be done according to the law and consistent with our traditions.
Yeah, I don't often find myself aligned real heavily with Rand Paul, but I think on this I'm about 100% with him on this. No for the Army. Probably not for the National Guard for all kinds of reasons. Yes, law enforcement, and yes, prioritize to deport the criminals first. After that, we'll see. 647 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
I-10, I-110 are looking good right now, not seeing any delays there. But if you're on North Palafox around the Maxwell-Jordan Street area at that intersection, both northbound and southbound are pretty congested right there. That's an extra 10-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And also, just as I feel like I'm going to save somebody the undercarriage of their car today. Yesterday, they're doing lane resurfacing on Highway 29, Palafox, down below Brent. So I guess technically Palafox. Anyway, they're, in addition to the restriping that they're going to be doing down towards Cervantes, the road diet that's going to be going in over the next couple of weeks, you know, down to two lanes instead of four lanes, which is a good move, bike lanes and all that kind of stuff. This is farther north, like Fairfield in particular. And when I drove across there yesterday, I happened to be going pretty slow because I was with back, you know, traffic at the light. But it's one of those things where the lane graded, then the lane finished is an inch or two difference. And I just worry somebody's going to go across that at 40 miles an hour and be buying a new car. you know, or some other kind of just be startled in the morning or whatever. So if you got a green light going east to west on Fairfield across Palafox, just be aware that that is going to be a little bit of a rough ride this morning. 648 News Radio 92.3. Hey, I remembered. We have FSU tickets. You want to go see FSU this weekend? Get them while they're hot. Anyway, hey, they're on a one win streak, right? They got a what? Sorry. Anyway, FSU is playing Florida. This is the fun one, right? So this weekend, you can go see the game this Saturday at Doak Campbell, Saturday, November 30th. I've got two tickets. I just feel like it's always this way. Just caller number one, be fast. You know, have me in your phone, 437-1620, 437-1620. You call now, you win. John Pickens will take your call in just a second, and we'll be back in a minute.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Psalm 100, verse 4. Hi, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. We have so much to be thankful for, but sometimes we get so caught up in life, it's easy to forget. This Thanksgiving holiday, let us all take a moment and just be thankful. From our family to yours, we wish you a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. God bless.
This holiday season, you can give the gift of hope, stability, and a brighter future. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity is creating lasting change by providing affordable home ownership opportunities right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Together, they can change lives for generations to come. Your end-of-the-year gift not only builds homes, it builds hope. And with tax season approaching, it's a gift that gives back to you, too. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and give today, because everyone deserves a place to call home.
You okay?
Sorry, I can't sleep with this cough.
Sounds like you need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with NyQuil VapoCool. It's NyQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
Whoa.
So you're ready to get some sleep? Thank you, NyQuil VapoCool.
NyQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing nighttime coughing, aching, fever, best sleep with a cold medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thus, a kid who had illegally scaled the junkyard fence might hear the dread cry, "Chopper, sick balls."
By Me is such a great movie. It really is. I had forgotten how good it is. I was rewatching it the other day. 6:51 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the man picked to lead border enforcement efforts by President-elect Donald Trump will be in Texas today. Incoming border czar Tom Homan set to meet with Texas Governor Greg Abbott and other lawmakers. They'll be in Eagle Pass discussing the border situation. A federal agency is planning to measure radiation levels in Washington, D.C. ahead of the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump. The Department of Energy's National Nuclear Security Administration is going to be doing low-level flights through the downtown area in Washington, D.C. next Monday. Those flights will continue until December 13th. They say the measurements will help protect public health and safety during the inauguration. And closing arguments are over in Google's second antitrust trial in 2 years. The search giant and the Department of Justice wrapped things up yesterday in a federal court in Virginia. The government lawyers allege Google has achieved a monopoly by buying up all their competitors and forcing publishers and advertisers to use their services.
All right, David, thanks so much. I just thought there'd be just a little bit more, and then you're done.
So that's all I got.
Yeah, that works.
That's it. I read the last word.
Who won the contest, John? You got a winner, first name?
Mr. William.
William, all right, congratulations. Yeah. Enjoy those tickets. There's going to be more tickets to the FSU-Florida game this weekend. The afternoon show has a pair to give away. I think we might have a pair to give away tomorrow, so, you know, good. Anyway, what was I going to tell you? Oh, so interesting news. Walmart is backing away from DEI initiatives. The latest in the, oh, God, what have we done, kind of move. As is it because Trump won? Is it because of pushback? Is it because of Bud Light or Jaguar or anything else? I don't know. We'll see. But you have all these big companies that are backing off, like Harley-Davidson and Ford and Lowe's, Tractor Supply, right? Now, Walmart, it is not renewing. It's still amazing this even was done. A racial equity center established through a five-year, $100 million philanthropic commitment from the company with a mandate to, quote, address the root causes of gaps in outcomes experienced by Black and African-American people in education, health, finance, and criminal justice systems, end quote. You know, exactly the kind of thing that you think of Walmart being involved in. What? What? And again, when I do the transgressor ceremony on Friday, the woe unto all who offend, and you think, oh, that can't be real. Dude, I barely have to invent anything. I just have to say it with a little flair. But even when I say it with a little flair, I'm barely embellishing what really happens in real life. It's amazing. They are also going to stop participating in the Human Rights Campaign's annual benchmark index that measures workplace inclusion for LGBTQ+ and other acronym employees. And oh my God, this is the, okay, a Walmart spokesman, oh no, sorry, a Walmart spokesperson, how dare you, a spokeshuman, a spokesthem, a Walmart spokes it said some of its policy changes have been in progress for a while. For example, it has been moving away from using the word DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion in job titles and communications, and started to use the word belonging. This is all part of our Belonging Initiative 2024. I can only make up so much, but comedy always works and satire always kind of works within the bounds of what's at least a little bit normal. The Belonging Initiative.
Belonging.
Are you
belonging?
Into belonging? Are you pro belonging? Are you belonging positive? It's just, come on. Oh, my God. It's, you know, wow. Anyway, so, yeah, this is definitely make it on Friday. But that's not the only story. There's a very interesting in this sort of DEI woke mental disease mindset that we've got that is political correctness 4.0 or whatever. I don't know what iteration we're on now, but it's just the same old thing again and again in a new different way, comrade. come back to this in a second. It is. It's
comrade.
It's so funny that... You know, projection is a psychological habit of accusing other people of doing the thing that you actually are.
Right.
How many times the accusation against conservatives is you fascist, you totalitarian, you Nazi. My dudes! Get a mirror! Look in the mirror! Anyway, John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. No new accidents to let you know about right now. But if you're at the intersection of Palafox and East Cervantes, you're at that intersection, all three are experiencing all three different directions. If you're headed southbound, northbound, or east or west, you're still experiencing some delays there due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. All these texts are hilarious. Somebody says, boy, that's a lot of words to describe reparations. Okay. Somebody else says, that Walmart statement was so circular with a ton of corporate speak, it took so many words to say something so small, but I am glad to see Kamala Harris's speechwriter found a job. All right. This was on MSNBC yesterday? I think yesterday. And this is, it's just, I'm going to want to play it for you. This is Jonathan Capehart talking about the nomination for Secretary of Treasury, Scott Bessent, okay, who is gay. Okay, that may come as news to you. It sort of came as news to Jonathan Capehart, but here goes.
Well, that's the point I was getting to. So yesterday morning, says,
right,
wait, Scott Bessent is gay?
He is.
And married? Yes. And has children.
Yes, he does.
Yesterday, when I brought this up, you know, he, if he's confirmed, would be the highest ranking out LGBT person ever to serve, to be appointed and confirmed by the United States Senate. And I said, right, you know, I'm kind of conflicted
Trump
about
it.
It's Trump. Yeah. I'm kind of conflicted about this.
I mean, I wanted a gay savior. I just didn't want a Trump gay savior. what do I do? Like, I'm supposed to hate Trump, and Trump is evil, and he's all corporation-y and everything, but, you know, and all the rich people, but now he put a gay up there, and I'm supposed to love the gays, and, is this, like, right turn on red? Is it okay to go? What do I do? The difficulty of being a modern liberal Pharisee is so hard. You know, well, is it okay with the mint, the cumin? Is it Sunday? Can I glean? What can I do? Like, it's a religion. And it's a religion based on following all these constraining rules about what's appropriate and inappropriate and where should I be. And, man, I want to be pro-gay, but I don't want to be pro-Trump. And I want to be anti-Trump, but I don't want to be anti-gay. Oh, no, Trump put up a gay dude. Oh, God, what now? I don't know what to say.
Look, I think in that case, credit where it's due. I think he's also, I think we expect the markets to shoot up when they open in Asia here in a little bit. I think Wall Street likes the guy. It is very interesting that, yes, it is Trump and not one of our team who made that historic nomination. But it's interesting looking at the cabinet.
Do the gays win this one or do the Trumps win this one? It's not our team. How come our team? Well, Pete Buttigieg, but not, you know, I mean, still, right? But the angst. We want to be for it, but we don't want to be for him. Oh, what do we do?